Today is the first Sunday of our stewardship campaign with the overarching theme of Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Praise. And so each week we're going to have a little twist on that theme. Today's twist has to do with guarding our heart. I believe, and I think you will believe, that for us to be in tune with the will of God and who God is, we need to guard our hearts, right? Next week, we'll be talking about Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace, from the Come Thy Fount of Many Blessings that Alan played so well. The next week, Reverend Dr. Doug Thrasher will be here for our charge conference, but he will be preaching that day, and his theme is Tune My Heart to Do Thy Will. And then the last Sunday, we will use the overall theme of Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Praise. So kind of a, hopefully it'll link together. And so we're glad today to have Joan and Mike. This was going to be a video. And two Saturdays ago, Mike and I met down in our secret underground studio here at Kingswood, and we recorded it. But it was something was missing because he was talking for Joan, which really didn't seem like the thing you should do to Joan. And it was so good that I thought we need to let them do this live, and so that's why we're here today. We'll be talking about their not only their faith journey, but their stewardship journey, and also about guarding their heart. So I want y'all to please us welcome Mike and Joan for what they're getting ready to share with us. So let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for Mike and Joan, for their willingness to share their hearts and their story with us. May each of us here open our own minds and our own hearts and our own ears to hear what you would have us to hear. And we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so why don't y'all begin talking about your faith journey, not all the way back to birth, but Joan kind of acted as if they've been married all her life.
Oh, yeah, it seems
so,
that way.
we'll start with really when y'all got married.
Okay.
I guess if you talk about it, Charles, our faith journey, really describing it, would be one of discovery, struggle, trust, grace. And I would emphasis on grace. While we've been trying to learn and live out in our marriage for our children, for those that we're with, all of you, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul, with all our strength and with all our mind. That's been our journey through this marriage.
So even from the very beginning of our relationship, we knew that we were each deeply committed to our faith. We started from very different backgrounds. Mike was raised in the Southern Baptist tradition and I was raised in the Catholic Church. And at one point we were afraid those differences were going to pull us apart, but we made the decision to find the common beliefs and use those to bring us together. So there was never a question about whether or not we would find church and go to church, but it was more about how to find one that we would both be comfortable in. So after much searching and visiting different churches, we finally settled on Sandy Springs United Methodist Church, and that was our first church home.
And in that first church home, our first Sunday, coming from the Baptist church, you know, the decision was more of, we're also going to Sunday school.
It was not my choice. So
within that, we went to Sunday school that first Sunday, and we made up two-thirds of the young married's Sunday school class that day.
Ooh.
So it took a little bit of growing. We stuck with it. We made it a commitment. We began to find and develop that church home. The class grew. Class grew to the point where at that time, every Sunday school class had to have a name. So within that class, we became the TNT class. It was a dynamite class.
Sure.
We still debate whether or not that TNT stood for trials and tribulations or truth and trust. You think about it in our marriage, those four words probably really describe how we've lived our lives. We have gone through trials, tribulations. We've experienced truth. We've experienced and had to rely on our trust. So those would all the things that I would say that describe our marriage with this and our faith development. You know, that first early Sunday school class, when we were there at Sandy Springs, we began to develop by growing. It was there that we took our first disciple classes. We had some great teachers. We had a Supreme Court justice from Georgia who taught our class for a little bit. We had an engineer, great men of faith who helped lead that class and helped inspire to where I wanted to start teaching. So that was where the beginnings were. We began to get into leadership. We were on committees. We served. We went on mission trips. We did local missions. So all this, we were serving God. One of the things was, as we were growing, that very first year we were at Sandy Springs, they had stewardship campaigns.
Of course.
We had to talk money.
Of course.
And it was something we hadn't really dealt with. And that first stewardship campaign began for us what was years. It was years of an annual wrestling match with our financial giving.
How do we decide how much to give? So we struggled with that every year. Every time the stewardship campaign came around, it was like, well, how much, how much? But we got through it until the year that we decided that I would stop working full-time. And we took a more than 50% pay cut. But we had already made the pledge based on two incomes. So we had to decide whether or not to honor that pledge that we'd made or back down to just one income. So at that point, instead of looking at the dollars and figures, we decided to trust God and stick to our pledge and trust that the money would be there and we could make the pledge as we did. So we took a huge step toward trusting God and stepping into faith, and we continued on with that pledge. So from that point on, our annual wrestling match became more about how much can we increase our pledge as opposed to how much can we afford to give. And so we did that until we finally got to the point where we were giving based on our gross income. So that was a relief to finally give up and let God take over for our money decisions. But financial giving was only part of it. Mike mentioned that we were involved in the leadership of the church and lots of committees. And in the meantime, we were beginning a family and getting started on that. And up until the year 2001, our lives were pretty much normal and rocking along. We'd had a few blips in the health world. We dealt with infertility issues, and we lost two pregnancies along the way, but we had three beautiful children. But in 1995, Mike had to be first and have breast cancer first. So men, it's possible, and it does happen to men, so we do things backwards in our relationship a lot, and that was one instance. So if you want to know how to use power tools in our family, you come to me, not him. So yeah, that's how that works. But I think God was getting us ready to face what was coming ahead, because in 2001, my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer and in 5 weeks was dead. So that was the beginning of our experience with cancer. A month after she passed away, my sister was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and had a football-sized tumor removed. And since then, she's had two other occurrences of ovarian cancer removed.
And then there was May 30th, 2003. It was late in the afternoon. I had not been feeling well. I'd just been sick, and I had a wife who was tired and not happy with me. And to that point of being up all night and trying to keep clearing my lungs, dropped down on the side of my bed, prayed, because my arm had started hurting. And I said, "Dear God, take this pain away from me. I'm so tired of feeling bad." And I heard a voice. And it was out loud. God's voice, out loud, audible, said, "Get up and go to the hospital now, or you're going to die." I went and woke up a none-too-happy wife at the point.
Are you going to tell him why I was unhappy?
Okay. I'll tell why you were unhappy.
Okay.
She had just spent the previous evening.
It wasn't
evening.
Random.
John, our son John had just had his 10th birthday party. A spend the night.
Thank you.
With about, was it a dozen boys?
Yeah.
She handled
bowling,
it all.
Bowling, pizza, overnight. Yeah, it was.
I was in the bedroom. She did all of that on her own. She was exhausted.
Thank you.
So then I walk in. The great news was that while I had heard God's voice, she at least responded, not happily at first. But we got to the hospital, and I think when the nurse came back out and said, "You need to move your car, he's not going home," there was a tumor growing inside my heart. And that tumor was causing my lungs to fill up with blood. So I was literally drowning at that point. As I look back, that voice was God guarding my heart, literally guarding my heart. Within that same piece, my heart actually increased in size to accommodate the tumor till they took it out. So, but listening to his voice, I was attuned enough to know when I heard an out loud voice and no one else is in the room, I needed to listen and obey.
My husband, my mom, my sister. So, we made it through that. Oh, yeah, and we had just bought a new house and had to move 2 weeks after he came home from the hospital. That was a challenge. God was with us, healed Mike. From the years 2006 to 2012, Mike's mom and dad and then my dad all fought battles with three different kinds of cancer and died. So those health events also happened when we were sending our girls off to college and trying to get John through high school. And if any of y'all remember John, he was a challenge, shall we say, in his high school years.
And if you've been here long enough, you know that when we first started coming here in 1996, I think it was somewhere right in there about where you are now, maybe a little behind you.
Yeah.
Occasionally, we would look over and John would no longer be on the pew, and his head would pop up somewhere down around Joanne over here.
Yeah.
So he was trying early on, but teenage years
he
got a little
cleaned up
better.
Buttons and spiders and earring backs underneath on the floor.
So we've survived. We've gone through all of our parents' death, transition into almost empty nesters. Well, I guess we were. And in 2014, Joan was diagnosed with breast cancer. So here we went again. And through all of these trials and tribulations, our church family, and I would say this church family, Kingswood, has really loved and supported us. People have been there for us. We've talked about trouble and trying times. We've had people here sit with us hand in hand, just down the hall in the library, one on Wednesday evening, sat and prayed with us, not for 5 minutes, held our hands and prayed with us over our children. We've had people, you know, you have death in the family, a lot of you bring food. So we had people bring food. We even had one member who came, brought his own lawnmower back in 2003 and cut the grass more than once when I couldn't cut the grass. So those are all the loving things that we've had and have been supported by this church and why we support Kingswood.
And I often wondered throughout all that, how do people do it? How do they make it through those kind of experiences without a church family like ours to support them? I mean, how do you get through that kind of thing? So our commitment to being active members of God's church is rewarded here on earth by you guys, by having people in God's church help us through those kind of times.
Well, amazing journey. What has this journey helped you learn about yourselves?
Well, thank you so much for asking.
Okay.
In the year 2013, I had a pivotal moment in my life. I had joined the group called Canine Cellmates, and I was attending the first graduation ceremony, the first batch of dogs, and one of the inmates there leaned closer to me and said, "Miss Joan, do you think I've done enough good to get to heaven?" And how do you answer something like that? You might know how to answer something like that, but I was woefully underprepared to answer something like that. And so I decided that maybe it was time to answer Mary Beth Jeffries' eternal question, "Do you want to go on a walk to Emmaus?" I decided that maybe it was time to go on a walk to Emmaus to better prepare me to be able to answer questions like that. Coming from a Catholic background as opposed to a Baptist background, you're not prepared from the cradle to answer, "Are you a witness for God? You know, you need to be saved." I did handle it okay for that guy, and you can see me afterwards. I can fill you in. But I learned that I needed more knowledge and words to be able to do that. So when I went to the walk, we went to Walk to Emmaus, and I came away from Walk to Emmaus better prepared, but in a totally different way than I thought I would be. When I went to Walk to Emmaus, and in the process of our journey and in our marriage, I have learned that I am an unequivocal child of God who is loved unquestionably by God and His people here on earth. And I have never experienced or felt the presence of the Holy Spirit like I did on that weekend. Never, ever. Never, ever. I learned that I am a person of value and to never question my uniqueness or my abilities again. I learned that God would give me what I needed when I needed it, and that I finally understood the love of God and the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made by dying on the cross for our sins, for my sins. I learned to trust that God will give me the words and that all I need to do is let them flow when situations arise. And they do arise fairly frequently at Fulton County Jail.
Well, Charles, I think I would answer that question first what I've learned about myself is I am not in control. Too much of life has been where we couldn't solve things on our own. As much as I like to be in charge of things, to be in control, I love to kind of be like this, and I'm really not. And for that, that's a hard thing for me. It's also hard because my mind just goes and scattered all during the day. So keeping that under control has always been a challenge as well. And sometimes that'll lead you down to where you sort of get afraid of yourself in ways. And I have to come back to this verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. I made the comment earlier about God was literally guarding my heart physically. He in many times has guarded my heart emotionally, spiritually. A friend of mine somewhat recently told me they had heard that in the Bible, "Do not be afraid," or "fear not." I think it's "do not be afraid" in and of itself. It's in the Bible 365 times. I haven't gone and counted. That might be a challenge to do one of these days. But think about that. Do not be afraid. One time for every day. God has said, do not be afraid. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid to come before Him and talk to Him. I've learned that it's important for me, what I've learned, is to be able to guard my heart. That I need to draw close to God. And I need to be in Scripture, reading daily, much as I can daily. I thank you for giving us 10 extra days on that reading to catch back up, so that the monthly readings that we're doing help keep me. I find that I get devotionals and Scripture keeps coming up. After my friend told me about the do not be afraid, it's weekly I see another verse that has those words in it. So it's like I keep getting reminded by God of that in all kinds of situations. To that point of trying to guard my heart, to stay attuned, to listen. I haven't heard Him speak out loud again since that day. But He's spoken to my heart so many times through His Word, through songs. There are times we sing songs here that's just amazing. Last week, the song earlier this morning when we were doing this in first service, Joan said something and it clicked with me. And the song we sang in here last week, Song of Ascent, and it says, I will praise you on the mountains. And I've had plenty of those moments to do that. And I will praise you when the mountain's in my way, because I don't need to be afraid. I need to stay attuned. The biggest has been within prayer. I'm reminded of reading Psalm 5:3. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, my request before you, I lay down. And I wait in expectation. So that's what I've learned. I've learned to put all my requests before God and wait. Keep praying and wait. And keep praying and wait.
So one of the best changes that we've made in our journey in our 30, how many years? 36?
7, 30, almost 7. Seven coming up on 37.
Forever. In our marriage is to start the morning with prayer out loud and for each other. So before Mike leaves for work, before dawn, he gathers me in his arms and we say a prayer out loud for each other and about each other. So I wish that we had done, it was one of those, I wish that we had done it 36
and a half.
Or however many years ago. What a change it's made in our relationship. It shows each other that we've been listening to things that are going on in each other's lives. It shows that we know what's important to the other one. We turn it over to the Lord for that day. It just lays it all out there and brings the Spirit close to us for the rest of the day. And if we miss it in the morning before he leaves or if he's traveling, we'll call each other and do it over the phone. It's very interesting to sit at a traffic light saying, Dear Lord, be with Mike as he travels in the day. You know, so, but
she even did it a couple of weeks ago. I was in San Antonio for a conference and I was doing a presentation, the first presentation of the conference. And that morning, I called you, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just a, hey, how are you doing? Good morning. We've been away from each other for a day on the travel. And she goes, okay, let's stop. Let's pray. And so right there over the phone, there was such an uplifting of that. And I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So what have you learned about God?
Well, I have learned that there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from God. That one of my favorite passages is Romans 8:38-39 that says, For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. These verses gave me comfort through the many times, the highs and the lows. It gave me peace knowing that nothing could ever separate me from God. So, you know, even when you're sad and the pain is unbelievable and you pray so hard for an outcome that doesn't happen, that you know that God is there. Always, always there. And He will be there when you get to heaven again. So He's here with us now and always will be.
I would echo your words. I think that what I've learned about God is He's always faithful to His Word. You can read and He is always faithful. As Joan said, the answers to the prayers have not always been yes. They're not always the ones we've wanted as an outcome. Our prayers. At other times, the answers have not been right now. Sometimes the response to the prayer is get up and go. And, you know, at least one time I know that I obeyed immediately. Sometimes it's been a more of a drag, but He is persistent, but He's also been faithful to us. So good all the time. What I've learned about Him is that how caring God is, just from a how comforting within my soul, a desire to be compassionate, that He's compassionate. And it goes back to maybe something I've learned about myself. I guess when you have your heart taken out, that, you know, when it got put back in, and I just read this just yesterday, I think it's in Ezekiel, I don't remember the chapter or verse, but He says He's going to take out our heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Had it done literally, so there's a lot of compassion within God. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, and it talks about, in starting in the 9th verse, how two are better than one. So the two of us are able to, we have each other's back. When one of us falls down, the other can help pick us up. When one of us needs prayer, the other can pray for each other. The 12th verse then ends that statement and says, a cord of 3 strands is not easily broken. Some people would say, well, you need to get a third friend and you're even better off. For us, what we believe is that third strand is God. Our relationship has been like this. I think God has taken and interwoven, wrapped around His Spirit around us, around our relationship. And it is with that wrapping of Him that He's drawn us near to Him, keeps us drawn near to each other, and that it's with Him wrapping around us that we truly guard our hearts and are able to serve and give to Him.
What's those words in the wedding ceremony, what God has joined?
Let no one tear asunder. Asunder.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Sure. Amen.
We
Amen.
Thank you. We want to thank y'all for sharing your faith journey, for your stewardship journey, and how you guard your heart. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Mike and Joan and their sharing of their hearts with us. Lord, we pray that you would use their message, their story, to touch each of us, to move us to that place where we are in tune with you and we are guarding our hearts as well. And we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.